Hello and welcome to the 35th episode, 35 of the Naina Redhu Experience. It's a not very cold but chilly Tuesday evening. This episode is due tomorrow morning and I'm only getting time to record it now because I have been busy at the India Art Fair, which closed on Sunday, or was it Monday? 5th. It closed on the 5th of February. And I was there every day photographing street style for WWD.com. This is going to be my first commission for shooting street style for an international publication. And I'm quite excited about that. I think it should be up on the website anytime soon, on their website. Thank you, Ash. Thank you so much for accepting my pitch on this. And I am going to be blogging street style apart from what I've submitted to WWD. I'm also going to be putting it up on my blog. So it's going to be a daily series, and I have about 100 images. All those hut people who brought their own individual style to the festival. The India Art Fair isn't exactly a place where people usually go to be expecting to be photographed for street style. That usually happens at Fashion Week. So this was purely was to capture people who were dressed uniquely. There was something stylish about them. And this series, I think, is important to me because it shows people who didn't come there to be photographed. So they wore what they would have worn. So it's as authentic as it gets. At the same time, it also allowed me to figure out that shooting. I shot exactly 2,226 images. And it was 4 days of exhausting work. So every time if you see that I keep doing this, it's basically my left shoulder is totally gone. There is this massive knot that I have on my left I don't know what the name of the muscle is, but I can feel the knot when I touch it. So it's still irritating and my left hand is basically useless. And I was also photographing for Le Méridien. They have been my clients for the last 5 years. And they always do a special thing at the art fair. So I had those two gigs. The second one for Le Méridien was the closing party for the India Art Fair. And I was also working on a campaign with Himalayan, which is a water brand in India. It's a bottled water brand and they recently launched their sparkling water. So as someone, when we were walking around shooting it at the art fair, someone actually stopped and asked us what that was. And we said, well, it's a brand of sparkling water. And they were like, but that looks like Himalayan. And we were like, yeah, it is Himalayan. And they were like, we didn't know that India had a sparkling water brand. So thanks, Malian. I think that was a unique experience. We had fun photographing the bottle in front of a lot of amazing artwork. If you weren't there at the art fair, definitely look forward to it next year. It usually happens in February first week. I'm not sure if they always stick to the same dates, but this was the 9th year for them. Okay, coming back to the podcast episode per se. I have been meaning to talk about a bunch of things. So the exciting news is that I have a lot to talk about. So that means that I do have material for a bunch of the following episodes as well. This one is going to be focused primarily on, I've been getting questions from a bunch of bloggers asking how do they actually start, setting up their own blog in terms of the technicalities, like how do you get a domain? What exactly do you need to do to actually have a blog online? And it's remarkable how I always find it interesting that even though you kind of know what you want, you are still not sure what the right question is to ask on Google. So you need to find Google is available to you to answer your questions. But you still need to know what questions to ask so that you get the exact answers. Otherwise, you can just get lost in the sea of search results. So I think that is where it comes in, that someone who knows or someone who's doing it for a while, who's been doing it for a while, can maybe guide you and tell you exactly what the specifics can be for setting up a blog. So I'm going to try and attempt and tell you, if you're a complete noob, so I know most of you who are listening to this podcast probably aren't, so you can probably completely skip this episode. But if you're a complete noob, or even if you've set up a website earlier, but you don't really know what the scene is nowadays, what are the possibilities, what is the simplest way and the quickest way to get started, then go ahead and listen. So the first thing you need to decide is, even if you're not, for example, if you just want to experiment, okay, you're not really sure if you want to blog for a very long time, you don't know if you're going to be able to invest a lot of time, you don't know where it's going to go, maybe you don't want to blog eventually if you realize that A, it's not making you money, or it's not satisfying, or if it feels like a lot of work. Even so, I would highly recommend that you think of a domain name which you will not be embarrassed of 5 years down the line. When I started online, my first, some of the names that I played around with were Aside, A-S-I-D-E, which is what my brand used to be when I was in the field of branding and graphic design. It was a derivative of ideas, I-D-E-A-S, you put in the front, so it becomes Aside. That was a play on words, and I used Aside Consulting, I used Aside Brands. Eventually, I settled on aside.in because .com wasn't available and I couldn't afford to buy it. So I settled on aside.in, and the whole play on ideas and creativity worked for the kind of work that I was trying to do, which was all branding and graphic design, etc. I still have the domain. It still has some of my work, but I don't use that anymore. Eventually, I settled. I also bought nainaredhu.com. But I thought it might be too long. Eventually, I settled on naina.co. That's naina.co. is a domain extension. It's not a .com. I think the naina.com domain belongs to the... There's a temple somewhere in North India called the Naina Devi Temple or something like that. I think they own that domain. So the naina.co domain works for me, see, on many levels. As far as I'm concerned right now, I am like a brand. So when I go and meet someone and they ask me, what's your website? So if they already know my name, it's very easy for them to know what the domain name is. They can just search for Naina. If they search for me by my full name, of course, they'll find me. But how I usually introduce myself, it's naina.co. So like you would say Naina and company. So naina.co, company. A lot of people, I think, find it easier to remember it like that. So it's short, it's relevant. It's my name. It doesn't necessarily encapsulate everything that I do, but in a way it does, because I do everything and it's my name, so it represents that. You can also do, like Aside, for example, used to be this representation of ideas. It wasn't just my name. Transition to sell it to someone else would have been easier, etc., etc. But even if you are looking to do this as an experiment, see, a domain these days for a whole year, if you have to book a domain name, so you have to pay every year to renew it, okay? So if you get a domain, for example, naina.co, I currently have it on dreamhost.com. That's where I bought the domain from. They're my domain registrars. I bought it in the early days. They used to have domains for $9.95. Currently, I think .co would probably be going for around $24 or $25. I'm not sure. In those days, there used to be no .co's. Even getting a .in on Dreamhost was a problem. But now I think it should be around $24. If you are lucky to get a .com, then you'll probably get it for $13. So you have to pay that for the entire year. And every year you have to renew it for $25, or if the rates go up for $26 or $28, the rates don't go up that much. In maybe 10 years, it will go up by $5, if that. So you have to have that domain. The second thing you need to do for you to be able to actually do something with that domain is to buy hosting space. So what you do with a website or a blog is that you host it on the internet. I'm going to give you a very basic explanation. I'm sure all the people who are actually serious coders who understand hardware, etc., will probably be pulling their hair out. But it's like you rent space on the internet. So you have the name for your blog, but for people to actually be able to come and see that blog, you need to rent space. That is called hosting your blog. So you need to buy hosting space. I also buy hosting space at Dreamhost. I've been with Dreamhost since 2005. I highly recommend them. there are other services also, but I've just been with them for so long. And I did switch to someone else in the middle for a year and I regretted it immensely. And I'm back with them now, back with Dreamhost. So you can check out Dreamhost. Hosting space, if you are just starting out, I would recommend that you just buy the basic shared space, which I think should not be more than $200 a year. And again, that is something that you have to keep renewing. It's like a subscription plan. It's like rent. You pay rent every month. You pay rent every year for hosting space or for your blog or for your website. I am currently, Naina.co, the blog and the website is currently on managed WordPress hosting. So it's more expensive than shared hosting, but it lets me manage more bandwidth. So if suddenly I get a spate of visitors on my blog, like, you know, in the hundreds of thousands and the millions, if my blog had been on shared space, for example, it might just get shut down because my plan doesn't cover that kind of bandwidth. So you'll have to look at a few things. You'll have to read about what various hosts are selling you. What are the kind of things that you'll have to see where value is, and you'll have to understand what it is. And on the basis of what you read, you can then Google and you can say, okay, this versus this, which is better, or this versus this, what is the review, things like that. So yeah, so you're done with the domain name, you're done with hosting space. And then, for example, some people have asked me, what do you do for designing the blog? In the early days, again, I had no money for a domain. I had no money for a hosting space. And I definitely had no money for buying a theme or hiring a developer to actually create a theme for me. And there weren't even so many free themes available in those days. So I started hosting my blog on what used to be blogger.com. It still exists and I think it's become quite good too now. They used to have, basically what I had done was, I'd kind of hacked into it. What I'd done was that I had linked the first page of various, so I had asideconsulting.blogspot.com. I had asideas.blogspot.com. I had nena.blogspot.com, for example. So what I'd done was I hacked into the code and each front page linked to the other front page, linked to the other front page. So it was like a 5-6 page website that I had tried to do for free. Eventually, of course, I bought the domain and I installed. So my early days, it was just a website. The blog still remained on the side and I'd done HTML and CSS. So I kind of coded it myself. I looked at codes of other people's websites. I tried to see what element was where and I kind of worked around that. Now I am, of course, on WordPress. It's called a CMS. It's a content management system. Content is images, video files, audio files, text that you write, etc. And I currently buy themes now. I tend to change themes maybe once in a year, sometimes once in 2 years, because to my eye, if it starts to look dated, I don't like it anymore. Sometimes theme developers give up on themes, so they don't work with newer versions of the WordPress platform. So the last theme that I had was really, really good. I really, really liked it. I liked the way it showcased my content. I liked the way it promoted discovery on my blog. But it was, I think the developer stopped developing it in like 2010. And since then, it had just gotten clunkier and clunkier and clunkier, and my website was super slow. So all of you are telling me that my website currently is slow. You have no idea. It used to be way worse. First, I have so many images on the blog. It's really hard to kind of, you know, show you so much content on the front page and to give you context of what all I do. And I do like 100,000 things. So it is slow. Yeah, I can't help it. It's fine. I mean, in India, it's still a bit of a problem where because the internet speeds that we have, you have to wait for things to load. But I don't think abroad it's a problem. You just click it, it's there. You see it, you like it, you don't like it, you move on. So I buy all my themes from ThemeForest. Just Google it. It's under Envato, ENVATO, or you can just look for ThemeForest. Okay. So I buy themes from there. Usually a theme, the current one that I'm on is called Authentic, and I think I bought it for around $50. So that's a one-time payment, and what that means is that anyone else can also, of course, buy that theme. So it is quite possible that there is another blogger out there who has the same theme, or there could be 100 other bloggers who have the same theme. I have seen a bunch of bloggers in India get that same theme for themselves. I don't know if it was before I got it or after I got it. It doesn't really matter. My content is totally different. So that's what you do. You get a domain name, you book a domain name, you get hosting space, and then you install WordPress. Installing WordPress nowadays is very easy. On Dreamhost, for example, all you have to do is one click and you specify where you want it installed. So for example, you can have it on mine is on nana.co. A lot of people choose to have nana.co as like the main website, and they'll have nana.co/blog. So you can install the blog there. You can tell Dreamhost where you want it. And it's literally click and they install it all for you. Then you get an email saying it has been installed. You click on that and then it takes you to the login page. You choose a username, you choose a password, and you log in and you're set. Then once you buy the theme from Theme Forest, you download it and you can install it, upload it onto your WordPress blog. For that, what you'll need to do is once you've opened your WordPress, you know, dashboard panel, whatever, in that you go to themes and you say add new, and it'll ask you for an installer file, which is a zip file, which is what you will download from Theme Forest. And then you just click on that and then you upload it and voila, you have a new theme, which obviously then you can customize. These days themes have very drag and drop kind of customization. It's super easy. I would definitely recommend also that you do go a little into the back end and look at what the PHP is, what the code is, what line of code does what, how do you change your logo, how do you put something on the sidebar. I would suggest that you start blogging and these things will then come to you. This is maintaining a blog is it's a regular process, a regular daily process. Every day I will tweak something on the blog. I'll say, okay, today I think I need to add more stories that people can find on the first page. Now the problem is because of that, it gets really, really heavy. So then after a month, I'll be like, oh, maybe that's like too heavy. Maybe I should remove it. So I'll remove it. I really play around with the blog a lot. Sometimes I want the logo bigger. Sometimes I want it smaller. Sometimes I've played with the logo a little and I've added the text somewhere else. So I need to upload a different image file. Sometimes I want to show a different post as the leading header on the blog. So it's a continuous process. You keep working on it. You keep looking at what looks better. You keep going back to Theme Forest and seeing if there are any new themes that maybe you should buy. That's what I do. At any point in time, I've got at least 25 themes in my collection. I end up buying maybe one of those, especially if I'm feeling that the blog's kind of looking dated. So that's all. It's really, really easy. I have set up blogs for my friends in like 5 minutes after they had decided what domain they wanted. Getting small name, less letters on the domain name is getting harder and harder. So the sooner you do it, the better. Getting nana.co was easy because nana.com was gone. There is nana.in is not available. And the moment the .co domain came out, I booked it. And it works for me. I could have also used nanaredhu.com. It's a unique URL. It's not all that hard to remember, but it is harder to remember than nana.co. My emails are the best. It's n@nana.co and you're sorted. So that's pretty much it. I mean, it's not so complicated. I don't, again, for me, because I think I've been doing it for so long, it seems like, oh, what's the big deal? I don't know why all these people are asking me all these questions. And sometimes they don't even know what questions to ask. So when I had started back in 2004, even I had no idea what to ask. But I kind of figured it out. And even now, it's a constant process of figuring it out. You have to keep experimenting and failing and recalibrating and experimenting and recalibrating and failing. It's not just going to happen like this. I mean, if you look at the first blog that I had, there was no design really. It was just this one stream of content and one sidebar and one thing on the top, and that was it. It's important to have good content. That's it. You can host it on WordPress.com. You can host it on WordPress.org. It's free. You can have, you know, for example, nanaredhu.wordpress.com. That's free. You don't need to pay anything. You can get started there. And it's a domain name. Yeah. I mean, you can use it. It's not like someone's going to be like, oh, you know, this blogger has just WordPress.com wala domain, so we can't work with them. Yes, there is a perception. They think that if you are working there, that means you don't have any money, which means that they don't want to pay you, which is a very Indian middle class kind of mentality, salaried people mentality. If you are doing good work and you're getting decent amounts of traffic, you have an interested audience, it doesn't really matter what your domain looks like. And eventually when you can afford a proper domain, then you move to that. It's not that hard. It's very easy to switch. I've switched so many times that I kind of lost track now. And now the larger your blog grows, the more painful it is to move from one platform to the other, move from one hosting provider to the other. And so it's important to have backups. It's important to, before you make the move, you have a backup, you have two backups, then you have three backups, and you put them in different places so that you don't lose it, because this is all your hard work. And I think even if you kind of lose it, it's fine, really. I mean, you start again. But these things you will learn if you start doing. Please don't come to me with, oh, how do I start blogging? Just start blogging. Start blogging and then figure it out slowly, slowly. Go to, you know, I used to go to websites and I used to right click and I used to say view source. I used to look at how did they do that button. And then I used to hand code that button. Okay. You don't need to do that anymore. It's a lot easier now to just literally say, this is the theme I want, buy it, install it, and you're sorted. I couldn't do that back then, and somehow I managed. So I'm happy to answer questions, but I really would like it if you could just make them super specific. I mean, back in 2004, we didn't even have Twitter back then. And the only platforms I was on, there used to be this thing called Ryze, R-Y-Z-E. I think it's still around, but it's like quite shady. And we used to be on that. So there was no networking per se. I probably knew like two people who in India who had blogs back then. Most of the people whose blogs I followed were all abroad, and no one was blogging about fashion. Like, no. The blogs I used to follow in those days were about innovation, management consulting, creativity. And I wasn't reading how to do creative writing, for example. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I was reading stuff like how a creativity module was applied at the factory floor of a manufacturing unit, and how they actually ended up increasing production and profits and reduced, you know, man hours. I was reading that kind of stuff. I was reading papers from Elsevier. Okay. So it was a totally different world back then. Like, someone recently asked me on an interview question that who were your mentors? Who are the people that you looked up to, who inspired you? Well, there was no one who was doing what I wanted to do. I didn't even know what I wanted to do. So I wasn't really looking up to anyone. I just met online. I met a lot of nice people who were abroad, hadn't even spoken to me. And those were the early days. And they paid me 400 euros to make logos for their brands sitting in Europe. I think it was incredible. Those people were nice to me. They encouraged me. They supported whatever it is I wanted to do. They had no idea who I was. So that kind of helped me egg along. And I thought that, okay, you know, this is possible. There is a possibility to run a business online. You don't necessarily need to go to an office 9 to 5. There are things you can do online. Then I used to get a lot of work via LinkedIn in those days. Now I'm still on LinkedIn, but I don't really use it anymore. A blogger was recently asking me, how does a blogger benefit from LinkedIn? How can we put it to use? And I'm no longer the right person to ask that question. I think what the issue is that you need to invest a lot of time in a platform to actually make it work for you. So you have to pick your battles early on. You can't be everywhere and be investing time everywhere. My goal is always invest the maximum amount of time in my photography and on the blog. Then I look at things like Instagram, Twitter, then Facebook, YouTube, of course, I'm slowly working up to. And that's it. LinkedIn, I do post. My stories get posted there as a social media update. And once in 10 days, I'll probably go and accept business connection requests. And I also then sit and remove some connections, because the moment sometimes you accept a connection, people are looking for a job, and I need a job, maybe. So I don't really use LinkedIn. There are people who use it. They use it really, really well. They write articles on LinkedIn. They write articles on Medium. And I was recently listening to James Altucher talk about it, and he said that it's content syndication is also important. So I'm going to think about that. I've never really done that. I've been quite insular in that sense that I keep everything on my blog. I don't like it if a news aggregator picks it up. But I think it makes sense to reproduce some work on maybe Medium, for example. I really like Medium for some reason. Maybe I could reproduce something on LinkedIn, especially if it is a client assignment. I could go and post there. But I'll have to take time out and decide that, okay, every 15 days or twice in a month, this is what I'm going to do. I currently don't do that. I really have no time to focus on anything apart from my blog. I barely even sometimes get time to post on social media. Like if I didn't use CoSchedule to schedule all my updates, I don't think I'd be, there would be days that I don't post anything personally on Twitter, for example. And Instagram is on all manual. I'm currently posting maybe 5 to 7 updates a day. It also depends on the kind of content that you have. So it's, but please get a blog. Yeah. I mean, unless you're not looking to be a blogger, then it's of course different. And, do something else which you can support if you blog. For example, I support my photography via my blog. I think that really, really has helped my photography career. I have been able to reach clients that I otherwise would not have been able to reach out to. They have been able to look at my work even though they've never met me, and they've hired me on the basis of that for large assignments that were really important to their brand. So it's a way of establishing trust. It's a way of, you know, sometimes you go to someone's website and you're like, this doesn't look like their work. You, when you come to my blog, the only doubt you might have is, oh my God, is this one person who's doing everything? Something's up here. So yeah, it is one person who's doing everything, by the way. I'm not saying that's a virtue. It can get really stressful sometimes, which is why I have a huge knot here, because I've shot it, I've edited it, I've even written a paragraph for them to publish it. Sure, you get paid to do it. The street style is what I'm talking about. You get paid to do it, but you have to understand at what cost. So if you are thinking of, if you have someone who works with you and is equally passionate about it, maybe you can consider that. My problem is that I will probably, you know, beat them up also and then beat myself up also. Because I work with a lot of very tight controls. I don't like any slipping up. It's my image on the line. It's my brand on the line. And I don't want anyone to step in and come and say that, oh, you know, so-and-so from your team fucked this up, so your brand sucks. I fuck it up. Yes, it's my responsibility. I will never ever pass responsibility on to anyone else, which is why I think I get frustrated really easily when I talk to people who say, we'll give you 6 dresses. And I'm like, but no, that's not how I work. And it is, coming back to the subject of the episode, which is, you know, how to get a domain. And I'm going to put my affiliate link with Dreamhost in the section below. And please hit it up. Look at them. I have been with them since 2005. They have an amazing 97-day money-back guarantee. If you don't like it, you get all your money back after 97 days. And for me, the affiliate program is so amazing that I've made almost like $1,000 since I've been with them, because people have clicked on my link and subscribed to them or bought a plan with them, etc. So anybody who, not only do you get to actually spend money on a great provider, you can also include an affiliate link on your blog. And if you get really, really famous, then you can just pay your bills with that link. Seriously, I mean, I'm not even kidding. So check them out. And yeah, hit me up with whatever questions you have. I have a shit ton of questions for the next coming few weeks, which is part of this interview that I did. But if you have any specific questions, you can please more than welcome ask me. Let me know what else you'd like to know about me, if there's something specific. And yeah, I think that's it. We are on minute 28. Thank you for listening to the 35th episode of the Naina Redu Experience. Bye-bye!